those who would like to follow along, sometimes say in a humorous way, if you don't want to follow along, at least you get to know how close I am to finishing when you look at it. So that's available for you. The title of the lesson comes from the text that was read to us this morning. We usually refer to this text as the Great Commission that Jesus gives to his apostles. It's great in the scope of it, and that is to all nations or every creature. It's a commission in that Jesus gives his followers a charge or a discourse, an obligation or a responsibility. So what Jesus says here to his disciples is a very great charge or a great commission. It's important. We'll read it again. I know Leroy just read it just a moment ago. But notice again in the text, in Matthew 28 and beginning of verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. They saw him. They worshipped him. Some doubted. Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power or all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. In the lesson this morning, I'm just going to kind of point out an outline and just look at those words, the word all in the text. So the lesson is titled, The Four Alls in the Great Commission. You can see them in your notes. Number one, Jesus mentioned, I have all authority. All authority. Second, he gives a great commission to teach all nations, baptizing them. Number three, there's another charge given, similar to number one, that he has all authority, but he reminds them in your teaching to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then there's a great comfort, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And we usually think of last words being very important. When death takes a loved one, we kind of hold on to the last things that were said. People who know they will die usually have a last message. Years ago in United Flight 93, September 11, 2001, knowing they were about to die, at least believing that, they got on their phones rather hurriedly and sent messages back home to family and saying, I love you. Remember the trapped coal miners in West Virginia began to write notes to their loved ones because they feared that they would not escape being trapped in that coal mine. Sometimes we are saddened if we don't get to say last words. Or having heard last words from loved ones. Well, these words that we just heard read to us are Jesus' last words. Sometimes, as we say, we think of last words being very important or significant. And these words are. Jesus, before you leave and go back to the Father, what's the last thing on your mind? What would you have us hear? What do you want to emphasize to us before you leave? And these are the things that he said. Number one in your notes, Jesus makes a great claim, reminding his followers and even us today, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on the phrase. But remember when Jesus was transfigured on the mountain, God said in Matthew 17, verse 5, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." On that mountain, Moses and Elijah had appeared with Jesus, the great lawgiver, the great prophet of the Old Testament. But on this mountain, when those three figures were there, a cloud comes down, the cloud lifts up, and Jesus remains alone, and then there's God's voice out of heaven. "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." As great a message as Moses gave, as great a message as the prophets gave, God's last word through Jesus is, "I want you to hear what my Son has to say with all," and he has all authority in his message. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, I just made a note for this to you, that God at sundry times or in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. He has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things. Ephesians 1 verse 22, the Apostle Paul said that he put all things under his feet, meaning Jesus' feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church. Who is the head of the church? It's in the text. Jesus is the head of the church. I can't misunderstand that. I can't explain that away. Jesus is head of the church. He has all authority. His last words. Colossians 1 verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church. Colossians 3 verse 17 in your notes. Paul said, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed," whatsoever, whatsoever you do in word or deed, "do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." In the name of the Lord Jesus, by his authority, by his approval. In case you haven't grasped the meaning yet, what that means is that in answering religious questions or spiritual questions, the authority is the Word of God. If you want to know what to do to be saved, you go to the Word of God. If you want to know about, answer questions about eternity or baptism or church organization, you go to the Word of God. That has all authority and final authority. It means, just in case you haven't grasped it yet, it means that all others are excluded from being the head of the church. All others are excluded from having authority in the church. There's not a man, woman, council, group, convention, diocese, board, priest, pope, church manual, book of discipline, and such like that has more or any authority other than the Word of God. Are we clear? That's what Jesus said. I'm the messenger. Jesus said, it's in the text, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." Jesus said. Number two. The Great Commission. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," or every creature, "baptizing them." First of all, he mentions teach all nations. Realize Christianity is a taught religion. You're not born into it physically. You have to be told what to do to be saved. It's a taught religion. The message is not of our origin. I didn't make it up. The source is not from any council or convention or committee or group. It's from God. Paul said in Romans 10, verse 14, "How can they call on him in whom they've not believed? Then how can they believe in him in whom they've not heard?" In whom they've not heard. In Romans 10, verse 17, "Faith comes by hearing." hearing the Word of God. Somebody says, oh, Brian, I lack a little faith, but then you need to listen to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. My faith is weak. Well, you want your faith strengthened? Read God's Word. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. No place else. Your faith does not come to you by dream, vision, revelation, car accident, or illness. Your faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Period. So Jesus says to teach all nations, and then those who are taught are to be baptized. I added a note in your notes in the book of Luke. Luke records these last words of Jesus also as a Mark and Luke and John. But Luke says it this way. He gives us some added information about what Jesus said at the last. Here's what Luke says. Luke 24, beginning at verse 46. Luke 24, beginning at verse 46. Jesus said unto them, Jesus said, let me say that again, Jesus said, Jesus said, I don't want anybody to misunderstand this. Jesus said, remember he's the one that has all authority? Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Ye are witnesses, telling his audience there, you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send forth the promise of my Father upon you. So tarry you in the city, or wait in the city, until ye be endued with power from on high. Then after he finishes that, the story continues that he led them out as far as to Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Came to pass that while he blessed them, the disciples that were gathered there, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. These are Jesus' last words. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. This great commission that Jesus gives to his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel begins in Jerusalem. What Jesus just said in Luke's words. It takes place. And Luke continues. Luke, who wrote the gospel, Luke also wrote the book of Acts. So Luke continues these last words by writing in the opening chapters of the book of Acts the fulfillment of Jesus' last words. And so when Jesus said here, repentance and remission of sins preached in my name, Luke records that 10 days later, or tells the story of it, about what happened 10 days later. See, Jesus, after his resurrection, was on the earth for 40 days. Then he ascended to the Father. 10 days later, on the feast day of Pentecost that the Jews observed, they have devout Jews from every nation are gathered in Jerusalem to observe that feast day. While they are there, Peter, in Acts chapter 2, stands up with the 11 and begins to preach a gospel or a good news message to this vast audience of Jews who have come to Jerusalem to observe that feast of Pentecost. So remember, Jesus said it, Luke records it, I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name. So when Peter reaches a point in his sermon that this Jesus whom you crucified, Acts 2 verse 37, God made both Lord and Christ, they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said in Acts 2 verse 38, repent and be baptized. That I just heard. Wasn't that the last words of Jesus? I want repentance and remission of sin preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. 10 days after his ascension, Peter and the apostles are gathered in Jerusalem, just like Jesus told them to do. Peter preaches. They're convicted. What can we do? We're guilty of murdering the Messiah. We've crucified the Christ. What can we do? You can repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. That's what you can do. Jesus also said, I want this preached among all nations. Well, Acts 2, verse 5 says there were gathered, or there were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said in Luke 24 that I want this gospel, this good news, repent the remission of sins, preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. Well, that's where the disciples are. Acts 2, verse 5. At Jerusalem, the multitude came together. Jesus said, I want you to stay in the city in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That's what happened. Acts chapter 2. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were endued with power from on high. Everything that Jesus said in his last words that Luke records took place in Acts chapters 1 and 2. Everything. So we teach a message of Jesus as Savior. We teach. And when you believe that Jesus is Savior, the Son of God, that He died for our sins, you may be baptized. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Number three, a great charge. A great charge, teaching them. Now, when they were already taught about what to do to be saved, they were to be baptized. That's what Jesus wanted preached. I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. 10 days later, the disciples are there. The crowd shouts out, we're guilty as charged, what shall we do? Peter preached, repent and be baptized, every one of you, by the authority of Jesus Christ, or in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. They did that. So now once that happens, Jesus said, but there's something else. Don't stop there. I want you to teach them now to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So along with teaching and baptizing, we need to continue to teach for spiritual growth. Did you know what happened in Acts chapter 2? After they were baptized, in Acts 2, verse 41, they that gladly received his word, who were baptized, that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. They continued steadfastly in the things that Jesus wanted taught or told. Observe all things. You can read those other scriptures. It's in the newspaper. I like that. Sometimes when I see something in the newspaper that just hits the lesson. Dear Abby. You know, if Dear Abby says it, it must be true. Right? It's not. I'll tell you ahead of time. So, Dear Abby. Originally had a child and would like to join a church for the community, the moral messages, and the music. I grew up growing to one and got a lot out of it. No, she didn't. So she continues, however, exploration throughout my 20s made me realize that I didn't believe what was being taught. I tried hard to accept the doctrines, but truthfully, I doubt I ever will. Would it be dishonest to start attending again? What's your question? Dear Abby, I used to attend church, now I don't, but I have this child. Would it be okay, you think, Dear Abby, if I start going back again? Signed as New Mom in Arkansas. Dear Abby said, Dear New Mom, many people consider themselves to be more, quote, spiritual than, quote, religious. You better be spiritual and religious. Both words are in the New Testament. James 1, verse 27, pure religion. If you're only spiritual, not religion, don't have religion, you're out of sync with what the Word of God says. Well, I got sidetracked. He said, Dear New Mom, many people consider themselves to be more spiritual than religious. So Dear Abby continued, authority to say that. Someone has just asked you about going to church. You say, why don't you go over here? Because they don't have any dogma or creed. And you can support your own, her words, own spiritual path. Let me see, what did Jesus say here? If Abby said it, it must be in here, right? Jesus said unto them, Jesus said, not dear Abby, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Attend the Unitarian Universalist faith. They don't have any dogma creed, and they'll support you in your own spiritual path. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Which one are you going to follow? I'm going to quit. Down to the last. Now you know Abby's wrong. I clarified that, I hope. She's wrong in her admonition and counsel. She is not in authority in religion. The last one I have, number four, is a great comfort. Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always, forth all of great commission, always, even to the end of the age." So Jesus, in giving this charge, this great commission to the apostles, he says, "I'm going to be with you, a personal presence. I'm with you." It's an abiding presence. I'm with you always, all the time. And it's a victorious presence because now he says, even to the end of the age. In that commission, he said, I'm not going to forsake you, not going to change it, alter it, add to it, edit it. What I've given you is what I want you to preach to the end of the age, to the end of time. He does not say, oh, by the way, when we get to the 21st century, I think we'll alter this. No, it's not in the text. Oh, somebody, we need a new gospel for a new age. Jesus did not say that. Dear Abby might say that. But Jesus did not say that. When you get to the 21st century, there's going to be tremendous technology and new information, and you'll need a new gospel. There's a Greek word for that. Baloney. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement. Hope you got the lesson tonight. For all to the great commission, last words of Jesus. So now we extend that invitation to you. Why? It's not an invitation that originated with me. It's Jesus' invitation that asked me to preach, to teach. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. You're taught. You've been taught the gospel that Jesus Christ is God's Son. You believe it. You're willing to repent. You can be baptized. Confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Be baptized. And then we'll continue so he may grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you want to respond, if that's your desire to respond in a public way, while we're here, you can respond anytime, day or night, any day of the week. But if you want to respond, if that's your desire right now, be baptized to become a Christian. Remember the New Testament church. We can accomplish that. So let's stand together, sing the song that says it.